Acts chapter number 3, this passage of scripture, Acts chapter 3 and 4, is the story of the apostles going up to Jerusalem to pray, to pray at the hour of prayer. Chapter 3, verse 1 talks about it. And there was a man, the lame man laying there at the gate, beautiful, remember, that they had walked by many times. And the Bible says that he looked on them expecting to receive something from them in verse 5. And in verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." He didn't mean he didn't have any. I mean, he's spending money every day for food and everything. He's got some. He's just not, maybe didn't have it on him. And but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And you know the story. He leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. So there's nothing wrong with jumping and praising God. Hallelujah. Just a little side note. Luke 10 says that when Jesus, he saw the disciples came back and said, "The devil is subject unto us in thy name." And he said to the Father, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven." It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. In the Holy Spirit is what it really means. And he said, "I thank you that you hid these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes. Even so, it seemed good unto thy sight." So he was rejoicing that they were getting revelation. Yes. And it says he rejoiced in spirit. The Greek literally says he leaped, skipped, jumped exuberantly very much. But they were scared to translate what it actually said. That's not religious. But it is faith. Hallelujah. Anyway, some of you aren't sure. Go ahead and look it up. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced. It means the same thing here that this man did. He leaped. He leaped and stood up and walked and entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Glory to God. It's scriptural to jump around. Get happy. Listen, if you do that over a football game, but you won't do it over church. Something's out of balance. Something's not right. But anyway, this story, and then I want you to see verse 6. Such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? In the name. He had the name. He had the name. I said he had the name. And you know the story. They were amazed at all this. Verse 12 and so forth talks about the people. Kind of thinking a lot of the apostles, and they said, "No, it's not us. It's the one that whose name we use." Look at verse 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. "Yea, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So I want you to see he mentioned faith in the name. Then verse then they got called on the carpet for it by the leaders of the nation. And you can read that in verse number four, chapter number 4, verse number 1. They were upset that they were preaching the name of Jesus. And they called him on the carpet, brought him in, put him in jail for the night, and then tried him, put him on trial the next morning. And they said, verse number 7, this is chapter 4, verse 7, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?" They knew there was something about that name they were using. I mean, even the world can get a little clue here about some of this. "And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and people, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we be this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you, unto all of you," or "you all," I mean they were southern, "and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," I want you to be underlining these verses, verse 7 there, verse number 10 here, "by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," back in chapter 3, verse 16, chapter 3, verse 6, "that in the name, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." Praise God. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Look at verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name."
Come on now. None other.
under heaven.
Right.
Now that's important. Given among men.
Hallelujah.
Whereby we must be saved. So there's salvation in the name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's good.
And this passage shows there's not only salvation in the name, there's healing in the name. I want to talk about here. I don't know if I get this all out tonight. There's a whole lot to it. We'll just make a good run at it. I want to talk about what's on deposit in the name for our benefit.
Amen.
What's on deposit in the name for our benefit. Now, that might not mean a whole lot to you, but I'm already excited. I'm already jumping up and down because I know what's coming. What's on deposit in the name for our benefit? What on earth, Pastor, are you talking about? Well, there was something here that came. There was actually, we see two things. Came out of the name or the use of the name. First of all, we see healing, and then he mentions salvation. Which the word heal and saved is the Greek word sozo. It really means the same thing, just applied to different areas of a person's life. The word saved, translated heal, is translated deliver. It's translated to make sound or to make whole. It's translated to heal. Amen. There's another one I don't think I'm remembering right now. But when you got saved, you got a whole lot. And apparently from these verses, it's on deposit in the name. Hallelujah. Peter knew when he got there, notice verse number verse number six. This is chapter number three, verse number six. Such as I have, give I thee. He said, I don't have any money here right on me, but such what I do have, I give to you. He knew he had something. And he knew the value of what was in that name. He knew what God had deposited in that name. Hallelujah. Some know they have the name, yet they don't know or think much think much of it. You know what I mean? They don't think it amounts to much. You can tell they don't because they have really don't have a very high estimate of it and don't hardly ever use it. Now, of course, there's people that sort of flippantly use it. You know, bugs flying around their head in the name of Jesus. Lights flicker in the name of Jesus. It's sort of a spiritual bravado, kind of like bluster. But they don't really think much of what's on deposit, and that whenever you mention that name, all of heaven,
yes, come on,
is standing ready. What you say in that name.
Right.
They don't think about that. They're just sort of irritated, you know. In the name of Jesus, get away. It's bugs flying around or something like that. Amen. Don't get mad at me. That undermines your faith in the name.
Yes, it does. Yes, sir.
Anyway.
Amen. Good word.
If you read the Bible, all authority, all the resources and power that Jesus or that was in Jesus is in his name. Hallelujah. And guess what he did? He gave that name to the church. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verses 15 and 16. You ready to look at some verses with me tonight? Ephesians 3, 15 and 16. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Jesus is named? No, the whole family. The whole family. The whole family. You got to look at that. Look at that. Look what that says. You have the name of Jesus. You have the right to the name of Jesus. The whole family's named by that name. Hallelujah. Notice what it said back there in Acts 4:12. Y'all going to get in on this tonight?
Yes, come on.
Notice what it says. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name in heaven. No, where is it? Wait a minute. Jesus is in heaven. The person. Jesus the person is in heaven. But the name's not. The name's under heaven. And the name is given among men.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's why he said the whole family in heaven and in earth is named.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus is there. His name's Jesus. And those that are in the family, they're there. But we're here, and it's also down here.
Come on.
Yes. Amen. Why was it given among men? Why didn't Jesus just take all that's in that name with him? Huh? It's for our use, obviously. Peter used it to accomplish something. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. He used it to bring that man deliverance. I like that. Jesus, the person, has gone. He's left and gone to heaven. But he left his name here. Hallelujah. Why? For our use. It's for our use. And we have the right to use that name. Because we've become one with him in covenant. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're named with his name. And all that is in deposit, now that might not mean not much to you, but let me just kind of work with this a little bit. All that's on deposit in that name is yours. We got to build our faith, not just in Jesus, but in the name. In fact, just go to 1 John and notice that. Notice 1 John 3:23. 1 John 3:23, if you're writing it down, if you're turning to it. 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name.
Yes. Yes,
believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We're not only told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the person, but we're told to believe on the name.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
On the name.
That's what it said.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We have a lot of people today that have faith in Jesus, the person, but not in the name.
All right.
Come on.
They don't have faith to use that name.
Yeah.
And to make use of all that's on deposit in that name. Does that make any sense? But the name still has the old time power and authority that it ever had. It still has the old time power and authority that was in it when Peter used it. Hallelujah. Well, what's different today? I'll tell you what's different. It's faith in the name. Peter had faith in the name. Remember what he said? His name through faith in his name. People use the name of Jesus today as a slang word.
Come on.
They'll curse in the name of Jesus. Why don't you curse in the name of your mama? What's wrong with you? It's called blasphemy. No reverence for the name. No reverence for the person. Amen. So what are we going to do to correct this? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We got to hear all that God put in that name. We got to hear all that God put in that name. When the Bible says, you know, it talks about in the name of Jesus. Remember Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And that's mentioned a number of times. They used the name and said, in the name of Jesus, something, you know. So when the Bible says, in the name of Jesus, it could have been translated in the authority.
Yes.
And all that name got.
Oh, yeah.
Because all that Jesus got, that name got. That's a real key statement right there. But before you leave tonight, that's going to mean a whole lot more to you than it does right now. All that you have is in your name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Back in the 18, Charles Spurgeon was a minister from the middle 1800s, close to the end of the 1800s. Baptist preacher over in England. He had a great big church. I think it was in London. Anyway, over there in England. And he was called one day to go to you've heard this story. I told it before, but it just bears repeating. He was called to go to visit a lady. She was a very poor lady. She was sickly, was dying of malnutrition. She lived in a house made out of board boxes, wood boxes. Wasn't sealed very well, you know, drafty and just not, it wasn't a healthy situation, but really she called him to come and pray for her because she was dying of malnutrition. And while he's there, he noticed a document on the wall and he noticed it and noticed that it was important, but, The lady didn't know what it was. She had worked. He asked her about it, and she said, well, I worked for a noblewoman here in England for, I forget how many years. I think it was quite a few years, maybe 50 years. It was a long time. And she, whenever she died, the noblewoman died, she left me that. And I was so proud of it, and I so loved her and so forth. I wanted to remember her, and so I put it on my wall, put it in a frame, put it on the wall. She said, and Charles Spurgeon said, well, what does it say? She says, I don't know. I can't read. And he said, could I look at it? And he pulled it off and looked at it and noticed that it was a will, really. And he said, can I take this to some authorities and have them look at it? And she said, yeah, but she said, it's so precious to me. She said, make sure I get it back. Yeah. And so he said, sure, I'll get it back to you. But he took it to the authorities, and the authorities said, we've been looking for that. We've been looking for that. This is noble lady so-and-so, whoever she was. This was her one of her disbursements. When she died, she dispersed her property, and she gave this lady is dying of malnutrition in a drafty house, dying of, you know, because of all the bad conditions he's in, gave this lady a house and money to live for the rest of her life. And she had given it to her 10 years before. And she's living without. But the document on the wall that signed the lady's name had the lady's name, the noblewoman's name, signed at the bottom. That document had transferred to her a house and money to live for the rest of her life. Guess what? She could have been living a whole lot better than she was living. But she didn't know what was in that lady's name. She didn't know that woman had given her that, or she didn't have the faith to have anybody look at it or to believe that that lady would give that to her. But she had, and she had done it by signing her name. Notice she had transferred something that was in her possession to the woman by having it written out and then signing it. Her name transferred it. Her name gave it to somebody else. I don't know if you're getting this tonight. That's what Jesus did when he gave us his name. All that he gained through conquest of Satan. All that he gained by inheritance. You look at the Bible says there's two ways Jesus got what he got. He got it by spoiling the enemy. And he got it by inheritance from his Father. That's how people get things today. They get it either by inheritance or they go after it and conquer it. It's true. And that's how Jesus got what he got. And that was all given to him. He got it either through inheritance or through conquest. And it was all given to him. And whatever he has is in his name. And he can transfer it by giving someone else the use of his name. And that's exactly what he did. E.W. Kenyon talked about preaching. He started getting a little light on the name of Jesus. And he started preaching on it. And he said one time he was preaching, I think it was an afternoon session, preaching on this, maybe a morning session. But he was preaching and teaching on the name of Jesus. And he said there was a man there that I don't know if he knew him or not, but he was a lawyer. He said, Mr. Kenyon, he said, could I ask a question? He said, I don't mean to interrupt, but could I ask a question? He said, sure. He said, are you saying, because Brother Kenyon is preaching some of what I'm talking about, are you saying that Jesus gave us the power of attorney? E.W. Kenyon said, well, I'm a layman, you're a lawyer, I don't know. He said, what is this power of attorney? And he said, what he said was, what's the value of this power of attorney? And he said, well, if language means anything, then Jesus gave us this power of attorney. And he said, what is this value of this power of attorney? And the lawyer said, it depends upon how much there is back of it. In other words, how much is it in back of that name? How much authority, how much power that name represents? In other words, the lawyer was saying, it depends on all the resources that name has in it. Hallelujah. Did you know that everything you have is in your name? No, I have my house. No, it's in your name. Did you get that? You can't sell it without the use of your name. You couldn't buy it without the use of your name. You had to sign your name. It's in your name. Did you get that? Well, no, I have it. Well, yeah, you have it, but everything you have is in your name. Your car is in your name. Your insurance policy is in your name. You name it, it's in your name. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. His name has everything he has. Jesus' name has everything he has. And through the use of that name, he can transfer it, distribute it, or put it into someone else's charge and dominion. By giving them this power of attorney. And I don't know if you ever studied power of attorney. I've used it. We bought a house. I think the house in Tulsa, we bought it with power of attorney. Because the closing date happened to fall on a date we were out of town preaching. Okay. Yeah. They said, we need to close on this day. We said, well, we're scheduled out of town. We can't be there for that day. They said, well, you could give us power of attorney. I said, wait a minute. Because at the time, I didn't understand it. I thought that meant they could take anything I had and use it. But there's different kinds of power of attorney.
Yes, sir.
There's a kind of power attorney that you can turn everything into somebody's hands, and they can use it, and you instruct them how to use it. But then there's a kind of power attorney that just one particular transaction is you give somebody the right to use your name. And that's what we did. We gave them the right to buy this house. We bought the house, but they did it for us through the use of our name. And that's what this lawyer was asking. Did Jesus give us the power of attorney? Are you saying, Mr. Kenyon, are you saying that Jesus gave us the power of attorney? And as the lawyer described it, Brother Kenyon said, well, yeah, it looks like Jesus gave us the power. See, that's just a matter. That's just a modern term for this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that ought to make you shout. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I said, praise be to God. Now, so let's look at this a little further. Go over with me to the book of Colossians.
Yes, sir.
Or let's go to Romans, actually. Romans chapter number, we'll get to Colossians. Romans chapter number 8. You, Kenyon said, once that lawyer said that, he said, I started making a study of all that's in that name. Amen. All the power, all the authority, all the resources that are in Jesus' name. Because if I do have the power of attorney, then I can make use of all that's in that name on my behalf. Does that make any sense? Hallelujah. So he said he started studying that, and he said as a result of studying that, his faith grew exponentially in using that name. Now go to Colossians, or no, did I have you go to Romans first? Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. Let's help study. Let's not let you have to figure that out yourself. What's in the name? Let's look at it together tonight.
Amen.
Look at Romans 8, 17. Okay, you turn to it. I didn't turn to it. Let me turn to it in my Bible. Romans 8, 17. You know it. I think many of you can quote it. It's not what you can quote. It's what you have revelation of. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So covenant really made us one with Jesus. Remember the Bible said, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. We're just sharing the word with you tonight.
Yes, sir.
So that's what covenant did. And whenever we when a couple gets married today, the wife takes to the use of his last name. She has the use of the name. When Pastor Debbie married me, she got my name. She got Eberly.
Yep.
And your spouse, if your wife, she did the same thing. So that's what covenant does. It takes two and makes them one. And they have the same last name. And they can open an account, a joint account. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And when your wife, you guys, your wife has a need, she says, where's our checkbook? Right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And the husband does too. Praise the Lord. It's a joint account. I advise you not to live limited only in what's in your name. I advise you to find out what's in His name. And when you have a need, say, where's our checkbook? Where's our checkbook? Well, he needs to write a check. No, you can write the check. Uh-huh. My wife can write and does write checks using my name all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with it. Hallelujah. Praise God. All that God gave to him, God gave to us. You know, Jesus didn't need anything he got whenever he, in his death, burial, and resurrection. He didn't get that for himself. He got it for us. Think about it. All the thought, he rose from the dead. This is right after he kicked the devil in the head. Just a few moments later, he came up and hit his body, came alive, resurrected, and appeared to the disciples. All authority. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Wait. Here's a man that was walking the earth for 3.5 years, casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead. They tried to throw him off a cliff. He just walked through their midst. Seems like he's doing okay in the authority department. Why does he have to get this authority? Seemed like he was walking in authority. See, but he didn't get it for himself. He got it for us. That's why he said, all authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore. In other words, it's given to me here. He gave us that name. And he goes in Mark and he says, in my name, they'll cast out devils. See, that's what he gave them. He gave them the authority that's in his name. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it's better to have, let's say there's two people that say, I want to give you power of attorney. And you look at one guy and he's got a bicycle and he's got a little wagon. Okay, what does this other guy got? He's a multimillionaire.
Well,
which one do you want to have the use of the name? Do you know it's better to have power of attorney of somebody that's got something? And listen, Jesus, when we bought our house, we gave him limited power of attorney. It very clearly said limited power of attorney. Jesus did not give us a limited power of attorney. He said, whatever you shall ask, whatever you bind is bound. That's unlimited power of attorney. In other words, you have access to the resources of everything in my name. Unqualified. Unqualified. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Go over to Luke chapter number 11, verse 21 and 22. This is something that you need to see. Luke 11, 21 through 22. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are at peace. Now, if you look at the context, Jesus the next verse says the greater than he. But if a stronger than he, that's Jesus. The strong man armed, keeping in his palace, was Satan and his kingdom. But when Jesus, the stronger than he, came upon him and overcame him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He divideth. Think about that. What does it mean? He divided the spoils. In other words, when he got it, he came back to all of us and said, here, 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 here. He divided it up to all of us. Now, just in case you're not sure about that, go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. This is a great chapter of the redemption. Great redemption chapter. It's amazing Isaiah had. I thought the other day, I really want to meet Isaiah in heaven. He had amazing revelation. I want to talk to him. Isaiah 53. Look at verse 11. Well, we're going to look at the second part of verse 11. By his knowledge, by Jesus' knowledge, if you bring it through the cross and know who this is, by his knowledge, this whole chapter is about Jesus, shall my righteous servant, that's Jesus, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12, first part of verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong. Now, the NIV says the numerous and the many. Rather than great and strong, it says numerous and many. That's a little bit more accurate in the Greek, actually, although there's some, so you could look at it both ways, but it's definitely in that meaning, numerous and many. So he divideth the spoils with the numerous or many. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's us.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
So what he got in conquest, he divided with us.
Amen.
We're heirs of God and joint heirs. Now, that verse ought to make you think of Colossians 2, which I mentioned. I want to get to Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in that show. Hallelujah. Notice these verses here. Luke 11 talks about dividing the spoils. Isaiah 53 talks about dividing the spoils. What did he spoil? He spoiled principalities and power. That means he stripped them of everything they had, everything they had stolen from mankind in the Garden of Eden, stripped them of all that. Satan was stripped by Jesus in hell, stripped him of all that he had stolen from man, all the goods that he had taken from us. He spoiled Satan, and he stripped him of it. And in that great conquest, in Jesus' great defeat of the enemy, he spoiled those powers and he put it on deposit in his account, and it is in his name. You go down to the bank, you got to take your name.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You can't say, here I am, look, it's me. They want documentation with your name on it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because it's in your name. Somebody says it's mine. Yeah, but everything that's yours is in your name.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
This is why the Bible says not only to have faith in Jesus, but to have faith in the name.
Come on.
Yes. Oh, Jesus, come do something. Why don't you use the name?
Because
everything he has, the name has.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So he put it on deposit in his account and in his name. But we've already read that this is a joint account. Isn't that right? All that Jesus conquered and all the spoils that he got, he put it in his name. But whenever we were born again, we were made one with him. And we, Jesus said, you're named with my name now. See, covenant takes two, one, like a marriage gets the name. And so when God gave us the use of the name in prayer, he gave us the right to take charge of all the resources that are in his name to use for our life down here and as we carry out God's plan.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If that doesn't make you shout, you don't have no shout in you. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Glory.
His wealth is ours.
Yes.
When he got healing back, we got healing back.
Yes.
But healing is in the name.
Yes.
When he got righteousness back, we got righteousness back. When he got victory, we got victory. When he got blessing, we got blessing. That's why Ephesians 1:3 says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You ought to do an exhaustive study of what's in the name. We already saw that Peter, there's healing in the name. There's salvation in the name. This man was delivered from an impossible situation. He never could expect naturally to ever walk again, this man in the fourth chapter or third chapter of the book of Acts. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Praise God. When the Bible says, whatever you ask in my name, does that mean more to you now? Huh? Ooh, my, my, my.
Come on.
Praise God. So we have a joint inheritance. We've inherited jointly with Jesus all that his death, burial, and resurrection got. And so Christians are where they are because they have written their own ticket, so to speak. Or their own check, so to speak, to arrive there. Some make little use of the authority that is on deposit in that name. So that's one of the things that's in that name. The authority is on deposit in that name. When you got the name, you got the authority. The authority over what? Over everything that's in that name. Conquests of the enemies in that name.
Yep.
So you have authority over to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power. But you have authority over, you have authority to take charge of all the provisions that Jesus has gotten, his death, burial, and resurrection. They're all in his name. And you can use that name to take charge of them. And so to speak, write a check. If you know what I mean. Amen. Brother Hagin, make this statement. I'm quoting Brother Hagin, if I remember right. Christians are where they are in life because they've written their own ticket, their own check, so to speak, to arrive there. Most have written only a small check because they had a small vision of what is on deposit in that name. Or they had little revelation of their rights or their resources through the power of attorney, our legal right to use the name of Jesus in prayer. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know any check you sign in his name is not considered bank fraud? If I were to get her checkbook and sign her name and they found out about it, I think it's jail, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Bank fraud. Yeah. Isn't that right? Depending on what? Depending on how big of a check. Mm-hmm. I just get the most. If I did it, I'd get the most I could, couldn't you? But do you know when you use the name of Jesus, it's not bank fraud?
Yeah.
Whoa. Certainly it has to be. No, the whole family's named. The whole family. And we've got a joint account. And guess what? It doesn't matter how big you write the check, it won't bounce. Said it won't bounce. Woo! Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God. It'll never bounce. God will never say, that's too big. I don't know if we can do that. Now, your faith might not be there, but it's all on deposit. That reminds me of whenever I was just thinking about this last night. I woke up about 3 o'clock, and I was up. I just knew if I want to get back to sleep, I just get up and pray. So I got up and prayed. I'm walking around upstairs, and I was reminded that the Lord started talking to me about some things. He's been talking to me a lot about angels. He was talking to me about it, and he said, you remember... And just reminded me, maybe I shouldn't say he said it, but it just reminded me about whenever I had that vision in Russia of the heavenly, I call it the heavenly storeroom. Yeah. It's kind of the best way on how to describe it. And there was an airplane sitting in there.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I remember that. He said, well, that's one thing that's on deposit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Through the name.
Yeah.
He was talking to me about the fact that there was two angels standing right beside it.
Oh, yeah.
Or actually two in front, one on both sides standing there. And he was talking to me. There was other things he was talking to me about. But I just thought, that's on deposit.
Yeah.
That's on deposit.
Come on, amen.
Some people get upset about it, but that's their problem. They've written their own check, so to speak.
Come on.
I'll write mine, you write yours.
Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah. Amen. You just, it's on deposit. You just have to have the faith to use the name and ask big. Because that's how it works. It works according to your faith. The only limits to it is any limit that the one who gave the use of the name put on it, which Jesus, we don't have any record of any qualification. Other than John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will. He didn't say ask just a little bit. He said ask what you will. It'll be done. The limit is getting the word in you. But that's not limited. That's not him. That's really just simply something to put our to get faith in us.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, like Pastor Nancy said, if you've got the word in you, you're safe with the blank checks of heaven. I like that. I like that. But the only other thing that would limit it is the amount of resources on deposit. I'm talking about any, what kind of limits do we have here? Well, just getting the word in you to build your faith. Number two, whatever resources, I don't think there's a human being alive that's ever even gotten close to draining the account.
Yeah.
The joint account.
Come on, the joint account. Come on.
The third thing that would limit it is the person's faith to use it. That's the big one right there. I said that's the big one right there. Amen. Praise God. Hey, are you getting anything out of this? Next, after that, you have to, after understanding what's, on deposit, you have to understand this power of attorney.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Everything's in Jesus' name. Did we get that understanding now? And it can be transferred and distributed by the signing of one's name.
Amen.
And Jesus already gave us the use of that name, so we're the ones that sign it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not bank fraud, right?
Come on.
Right. Hallelujah. Praise God. If I give someone the power of attorney to use my name, and I've done that, but I always told them what, you know, in fact, I've done this before. Somebody was going to run, get something for me, and we didn't know exactly how much it was, and I wanted to give them a check. Didn't have the cash on me, so I gave him a check, and I signed my name, put the date and everything, but I didn't write in the amount. So I instructed them, right? Here's what to do with it. Here's not what to do with it. I know you want a new suit, but, you know. Praise God. Really, if you give someone a power of attorney, you've sort of taken your hand, and you might have told them limits, but even if you told them limits, they could, whatever they do, you're responsible for it. Think about how heaven has given you a blank check and made themselves responsible for it. Whoa. Praise God. When I give somebody a check, I either instruct them, I always have instructed them, because my resources are limited. I've got to use the name of an unlimited account. I've gotten a lot of things that I didn't have. You know, I didn't have the money to buy it. I didn't have any resources on deposit to get that, but Jesus did, so we got it in his name. I said we got it in his name. This is going off on the inside of me tonight. Praise God. Well, I don't have much in my name. Well, rejoice in the covenant that gave you another account with with your name on it. Praise be to God. So whenever I give, but I'm giving them, Jesus gave us unqualified use of his name. I've given people the qualified use of my name. But really, within the limits of what I told them to do with my name, I gave them command of part of my stuff. It's not up to me that they get that. It's up to them to go get it. They now have command of that amount of my resources. Like I said, Jesus gave us an unlimited amount. But in my case, it was limited, and I gave them command over that measure of my resources. Think about that. Somebody said, well, I don't know why I don't have it. This verse tells you why. In the name. In the name. You got to take advantage. You got to take command by using that name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of you are going to get this before we go. Praise God. Jesus has all the resources of heaven. Remember what he said? All that the Father has is mine. Whew, but he didn't stop there. He said, and I'll give it to you. We haven't half believed the Bible yet. Hallelujah. So learn to live on what's in his name. Don't limit yourself in what's in your name. Hallelujah. I can live in the vast resources of his name and go way beyond what I have in my name. Healing is in his name. Deliverance is in his name. Freedom's in his name. Sound mind's in his name. I mean, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost is in his name. The inner witness to know what to do is in his name. Direction is in his name. Praise God. Provision is in his name. All things are possible in his name. Satan's bound in his name. Angels are loosed in his name. The resources of heaven come in Jesus' name. Remember what Jesus told Brother Hagin? He didn't just tell him, bind the devil and release the angels. He said, claim what you need in my name. Claim what you need. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise God. Now, go to Ephesians chapter number 1. We're going to have to wrap this up. Seems like we've been going a long time, but we actually haven't. Ephesians chapter number 1. Look at verse 20 through 23. We're going to read this King James here first of all. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank God. Anybody going to do anything with this, or are you going to go and forget it? I'm telling you. Somebody said, well, I did it and it doesn't seem like anything happened. It doesn't seem like, it's not about seeming like something happened. We prayed, we were down there this weekend, we went down a little early and prayed some about Kansas City and how the Lord's leading us. And we prayed, we got some things, some good unction, some good things happened, but to a large degree, a lot of the things we were praying about, what I needed to know, I walked out of the end of that, we prayed a couple times one day, and was basically just like, praise the Lord, believe in God's moving. And it didn't seem like much was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Until the next day.
All right now, all right. Yeah.
And then Monday. Uh-huh. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. You can't go by feels like or seems like or. Anyway, Ephesians 1, look at verse number 20 through 23. Ooh, man, I got an unction on that one. He wants us to know, verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. See, that's all what this is, to usward. Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named. See, that's what the Philippians 1 says. He raised him, he has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. You don't have the power attorney to Warren Buffett.
No, we don't.
You know, he's a multi-billionaire. You don't have Elon Musk's power. You don't have power attorney to use his name.
No.
You got somebody greater than that. Woo, glory. His name is above every name. And just like whatever Warren Buffett has is in his name and Elon Musk has is in his name, whatever Jesus has is in his name. And he gave us his power of attorney. Poor little Warren Buffett. Thinks he's rich.
Yeah.
Come on.
Glory to God. I like what a missionary said over in China. I don't even remember his name anymore. But somebody told this story. A missionary over in China said, somebody went over and visited him, see how he's doing, because communication back in that day wasn't near as good. And so they went over there and visited him. How you doing? He said, well, I got two dimes in my pocket plus all the resources of heaven. That's rich. That's rich. Hallelujah. Now, verse 20. I got happy. Verse 21. Far above all principality, might, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Listen to the Moffat's translation of verse 22. 22 in the King James, first of all. Hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things. Moffat says, has put everything under his feet and set him as head over everything for the church. For the church. Or, as other translations say, for the benefit of the church. In other words, he was raised up to be seated at the right hand of the Father for the benefit of the church. Not for his benefit. He was already there before he left heaven to come down here. He didn't need it for his benefit. We needed that benefit.
Yes, sir.
We needed that benefit. And his seating there and putting everything under his feet is for the benefit of the church. Why? So they could exercise authority over it all. Hallelujah. So when God made this investment of authority into the name of Jesus, it was for the church's benefit. Wow. So when Jesus, this place where Jesus was raised up far above all these forces and powers and authorities and dominions and all the name, every name that is named, all the forces of darkness, and made him head over all things to the church or for the benefit of the church, that means Jesus has that place in his person. He personally is there. Remember the Bible says he raised up and set him there at the right hand of the Father. He's there in person, but so is his name. So is his name. That's the position. See, wherever his position is, that's wherever Warren Buffett lives or whatever he has in his name, it's all his name and him are the same thing.
Yes, sir.
So his name is far above every name. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So where's the position of the name above all the forces of darkness?
Yes.
Above all the forces of darkness.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So in other words, this name was given you to change your situations in life.
Yes. Amen.
change whatever's trying to. This authority that was given, Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. They were trying to hold him. Remember, they took him into hell because not he had sinned, but he took upon himself our sin.
Yeah, that's right.
And the devils were trying to hold him, but they had no legal right because it wasn't his sin. He took ours.
Yeah.
He was there 3 days.
Yes.
And then the power, the Bible says, make very clearly, the power hit God's power. The glory of God came into hell and raised Jesus. Yeah. Quick, and made him spiritually alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Demons splattered against the wall.
Yeah.
Yes, amen. I want to see that video whenever
yes,
I get to heaven.
Yeah.
Spoil them. Jesus stripped everything they had taken from man and raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? So we don't have to live under those things, but they would live under our feet. They would live under our feet. When we say no, they have to
eat. That's right.
That's right.
Because whatever Jesus got was put in his name, and we got the use of his name. So in the name of Jesus, you stop right there.
Amen.
Reminds me in Tulsa, I was working a job, had a job back in Bible school cleaning air vents, and I was in this house out in the country, and I saw the trees all messed up in a row coming down toward the house. And later, we kind of got to know the owners and found out they were Christians, and they said, "Oh, you're Bible school students? Yeah, we're Bible." And they said, "Come on here, we want to show you something." And they said, "See that messed up bunch of trees coming down?" They said, "Yeah." They said, "Back a couple weeks ago, there's a tornado coming right down that valley toward our house." He said, she said, my husband walked out there and said, "In the name."
Yeah.
She said, whoop, went up in the sky, jumped over them, hit the ground, and hallelujah. All destruction is under our feet in the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The name is just as powerful as the person. Somebody says Jesus wasn't there, but they used his name.
Yes.
And there was just enough power in that name, just as much as Jesus himself had.
Right.
Praise
Amen.
Be to God.
Hallelujah.
The church was given the name to rule over all the forces of darkness.
Yes.
Let me rephrase that. All the defeated forces of darkness.
Yes. Exactly.
Defeated forces of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's power in his name. There's authority in his name. And all that is in redemption is in that name. And you can use that name to lay hold of it. Hallelujah. Men go out to achieve great things so that their name can be great. You know, they want to achieve great feats of, you name it. I mean, sports, scientific breakthroughs. They want to do, they're all trying, many of them, not, but they're trying to achieve greatness. Whether it be in war or, fame or, great accomplishments or great inventions or something. They do great things. They want their name to be great. They want to be remembered. Many of them carnally want to be remembered as a major figure in culture or society or something like that. Isn't that right? So, because whatever they achieve, whether it be greatness or great conquest or great wealth or great something, great business adventures or something, great inventions, whatever they achieve goes to their name and makes their name great. It might be carnal, but I'm just saying whatever it is, it makes their name great, I mean, we remember the great people of history and we talk about them and stuff. And men are always trying to become great. And because their name will be remembered, even whenever they're gone, their name will be remembered. Well, Jesus has some achievements. Hallelujah. And all those achievements are in his name. Nobody in history conquered the devil. Conquered death. Conquered spiritual death. Glory to God. Nobody in history could heal the sick, make the deaf to hear again, raise the dead. Praise be to God. But the greatest power and greatest accomplishment was defeating Satan. And God conferred upon his name greatness. Praise God. And that accomplishment is in deposit in his name, but it's for the benefit of the church. And the church has the right to draw on that for their own victory. Stand with me to your feet. Say it out loud. The name was given to me. Hallelujah. He won a great conquest. Praise be to God. What this all means is don't tolerate stuff. Don't tolerate stuff. Don't tolerate defeat. Don't tolerate a tormented mind, a squirrely mind. Don't tolerate little sicknesses, infirmities, and weaknesses. I remember when I injured my back. I mean, I got so convicted. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and say, Father, thank you for my healing. And the Lord would start talking to me. He said, whatever you allow, I'll allow. You know, because the thoughts had to be resisted. You know, well, you know, it's going to be different now from now on. I won't quite be as strong in my back. And yeah, you just trying to get me to accept something.
Come on.
The Lord kept challenging me, whatever you allow, I'll allow. Boy, I got so challenged. It challenged me to the core. But oh, I loved it. I'm so glad He loves me enough to challenge me to the core. Praise God. Listen to Psalm 91:14. Because He hath set His love on me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name.
Yes, amen.
What does that mean? We're talking about what's in the name. High living is in the name. High living is in the name. Ooh la la. I will set him on high. That reminds me, thou shalt be above only and not beneath. Well, I've been beneath. Start using the name. Do you know what's in that name? I mean, I'm even giving you a series to study. Get to know what's yours in the name. Then we got Proverbs 18, verse number 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. So there's safety in the name. Praise God. It's a strong tower, and he calls it here, I will deliver it on, set him on high, because so a tower is high. And it's strong and it's safe. Yeah. So really, the name is a tower of force, safety, and high living. What does that mean? You're above where the devil can get to you.
Come on, above.
This is really talking about our seat,
yes,
far above.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Far above. There's high living in the name. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I'm telling you, that word high, I looked it up. It means aloft. An inaccessible, safe, defended place. Too lofty. Really, it means it's too high. But then I said this. This is what it means. Too high for what? Too high for the devil to have access to me. Yeah, glory. Pastor Debbie, I was telling Pastor Debbie this. She was talking about how the Lord kept dealing with her about rise above it. Talking about, he would talk to her about eagles, you know. She kept seeing eagles, and the Lord kept saying, like them, just rise above it. Just rise above it. Rise above it. And I told her, I said, I remember something. She started talking about that. I said, I remember something I heard. There's only one bird, apparently, from the people that know. I don't know all this, but there's only one bird that'll attack an eagle, a bald eagle, and that is a crow. And they said, crows, I guess they're, you know, some birds are arch enemies with other birds, whatever. You know, like owls and turkeys. If you want to go turkey hunting, go out there in the morning and sound like an owl. And all the turkeys go. You learned something tonight. Besides the word. But you but anyway, crows and the eagles, they're bald eagles, they're arch enemies, I guess. And I guess maybe the eagles get their eggs, whatever. There's probably reasons for all this. But they go after them and they try to peck at them. But the eagle doesn't fight them. They said the eagle just rises up. Rises up. And I guess the breathing capacity of a crow is different than an eagle's, and he can't exist as high. So the eagle just keeps going higher and higher and higher. And eventually the crow can't breathe, so has to come back down. Well, the devil's out there. Get up above it. Get up above it. Get up above it. Get up where the devil can't breathe. Woo, glory. Glory, 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 glory. I'll tell you, get up where the devil can't breathe. Just live up in the high promises of God. Live up in the name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.